If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the one Supreme Lord. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is the Masters, their methods, means, and ways of working with humanity and Earth. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and evoke and call forward that part of you that is transcendental, eternal, immortal, and is your true identity forevermore. Take another deep breath and allow that higher consciousness of the divine self to enter in and occupy your human instrument. Allow that which is transcendentally greater, ever pure, ever whole, ever holy, to have full governance over your life. Allow that divine presence, that is the truth, your authenticity, your innermost eternal essence, allow it to illumine your mind. Allow it to open your heart. Allow it to flood your body with vitality, energy, power, strength, and radiance. You yourself have the on and off switch in your hand. You can call that part of yourself forward. Every morning you can set the tone of your day by occupying yourself fully from that divine level. You can call it forward in the times when you feel like your energy is drained. And it will be drained if you think you're operating out of your own steam. It is God itself that gives you the energy in your body, the Shakti, the power, the radiance, the wisdom, the knowing. Everything comes from that higher level. The body itself is quite inert. The brain has developed certain neural pathways that have funded a familiarity with illusion, with a separate sense of self that in truth has never really existed. So the brain suggests familiar patterns that lock you into limited self-definition, that lock you into believing that you're sick or ill or impaired or endangered in some way. All of that is like a primitive residual of animal consciousness that thinks it has to fight or flee ever-present danger. That's an atavistic state that's no longer appropriate for the divine incarnations that each of you are. It's time to go beyond this sense that you think you have to defend and fight and protect and isolate and separate and define an againstness, the things that are going on around you. What you have around you are simply representative of your karmic field, of how you have conditioned your mind to perceive. But there's ever a higher, ever and always, a higher level to which one can perceive and then truly see. So it's no longer a perception of familiar neural interpretations, but it becomes a walk of direct revelation that comes to you as that which is ever new. It's not something learned. It's not something generated out of the past. It's something spontaneous and fresh and new. And that's a life of pristine awareness that we are being, I would say, beckoned by reality to begin to host, begin to entertain more and more. The Christ said, "Behold, I make all things new." And the Christ consciousness within you makes all things new. How can you import that newness into this moment? That freshness, that vitality. If you ever find yourself becoming bored and complacent and staid and in a rut, interpret that as a call to go beyond where you've been. That's letting you know you've outgrown that approach, that way of being. And find a way to make all things new for yourself. And you can do that when you live in the present. When you live in the innocence of not having to have answers and to know everything. Allow for the wonderment of continual revelation to be present. That part of you seeking to impress the brain now comes through epiphanies of direct revelation within the context of the moment, evoked very often by the polarity and the disparity of the energies within any given situation. Yes, evoked. Because here in this arena of consciousness training, we need the counterbalancing of the polar opposites to catalyze the newness of the moment. Like rubbing two sticks together. If you're out on a camping trip without matches, you can generate a fire with the friction of those two sticks rubbing together. Like that, in similar manner, the flesh personality human vehicle and the divine spirit, when they come into that rubbing position, rubbing against each other, because of the challenges brought to bear at in any given moment that you have to deal with, it's that friction between the non-self and the true self that generates the fire of present revelation, present newness, present vitality. It's an intense energy. We need to live intensely in the intentional mode. As we spoke in a previous show about the intention literally being the presence of the divine within you operating. It's intention. Sai Baba has said that intention is God itself, or sankalpa, as the Sanskrit word would be for the same process. So we need to live intentionally on purpose, with present wholeness, so that we're no longer locked in this futility of trying to become that which we've always been. What utter nonsense to keep trying to become what has already always been the truth of who you are and what you are. So you can see that it's simply the conditioning of these cerebral neural pathways in the brain that have continually been exercised in illusion and identifying our reality with that which is essentially passing, ephemeral, and not real. It is a construct of conceptual projection that we have identified with. And the great shift being made now is completely out of that. So dramatic that it would be like the little chick pecking its way out of the eggshell to a greatly expanded reality, going from the confinement of a small little egg to the spacious sense of unlimited being. That's what we're doing. We're breaking out of the eggshell of ego and into the vastness of the self with a capital S. So the masters have their methods and means and ways of working with us to bring us through these illusions that we've become so terribly attached to that our whole lower nature rebels and puts up a conniption fit when anything tampers with what it has become familiar with as reality. And that's why you're finding people very, very disturbed now, because everything that could be shaken is being shaken on every level. And you will not find any firm footing anywhere but on the rock of the Christ within you, that divine presence within you is the hope and glory and is the solid rock on which you stand. And truly everything else is sinking sand. So you're not going to find any kind of support for your illusion anymore. Those plugs, those circuits, have been pulled. They're no longer being funded. That's why you do not have to worry about all of the negative things that are playing out on the planet now. They no longer have any juice to support them. The plugs have been pulled. They will self-destruct or drain utterly and completely into futility. But not one weapon formed against you will prosper. None of it. None of it. Because that which has always been is appearing in now through the divine being that you are. That's already been forever and ever one with God and living an expanded life right now. Not confined to a little singular personality in time space. So the place to start with in attaching your energy systems to something that you can track in terms of your feeling. It's important that you can feel things as you go through them experientially, because that's what impresses the brain and the neurological system, is the reality of your direct experience. And usually we have to feel something to register it to where we're going to want to do it again. So heart coherency feels good. And again, it's as simple as breathing consciously with intention into your heart, touching that place that I've often pointed out to you, just below the thymus, the breast bone, finding that place where it feels very different, very sensitive, very yummy when you touch it, breathing into that place and touching to God directly. The divine presence dwells in every heart. And only you can open the heart to experiencing that divine presence. Did you ever wonder why, if you've ever paid attention to the very famous painting by Solomon of Jesus standing and knocking at the door? I'm sure you've all seen that portrait. Did you ever notice that there's no doorknob? He can't open the door from outside. Check it out. Google it. You will see. There's no doorknob. That means you have to consciously open the door to the divine. You have to open the door. But at the slightest invitation, that indwelling presence will manifest to you. But you have to have the wit to invite it. You'll know that the divine spirit is very much a gentleman, very honoring of your sacred citadel of consciousness. That's your creational arena, and no one will ever violate that. So go into that place, and as you go in, express gratitude. Gratitude for the gift of life. Gratitude for conscious sentiency. Gratitude that you can comprehend what we're speaking of, that you are who you are, and that you're doing what you're doing at this time. In literally birthing a golden age and an entirely new version of life on this planet and later upon other worlds, if you so choose. Maybe you've already done that. Maybe you've come back from those worlds. That doesn't matter. What matters is who and what you are this instant and how willing you are to bring all of you possible into this moment. Now, when you move into that place of heart coherency and express the gratitude, and begin to feel that building within you, that totally cancels out the ego. That completely aligns you with grace. And gratitude and grace flow as one. In fact, you could define grace as the divine reciprocal response to your gratitude. So heart coherency, gratitude, grace are what convey the divine presence into your life. They usher in, they invite, they host the divine presence in your life. So remember that. Heart coherency with gratitude aligns you with grace and completely negates the ego. It's impossible to feel gratitude and be in an egocentric state at the same time. They just cancel each other out. So awakening from the illusion of separate identity to the fact that we are each part of a divine plan is what is occurring now everywhere across the planet. Every person is somewhere in this process of awakening from that limited mini-me with all of its personal drama and self-focus to the impersonal world server that is a member of the spiritual hierarchy. So those of you who identify yourselves as disciples, initiates, light workers, and such, are being trained by the elder brothers and sisters of light, I would say 24/7. But most specifically, you probably, well, not probably, and most certainly, are being taken out of the body each night and trained. And then when you come back in the body in the morning and awaken to your new day, then that training is expected to be exemplified in some way in your daily life. And most of us don't remember the training that we receive. And that's unfortunate. But again, it's a choice. If you really want to remember and record, you will. If it isn't that important to you, you won't. So the choice, again, resides with you and how intentional and intent you are on becoming conscious, fully conscious, not just in the daytime, but also at night. In fact, the whole goal to becoming awakened and conscious is to develop what is called continuity of consciousness. That is where there is no lapse and no going unconscious between your waking state and going to sleep at night. You step out of the body in full consciousness, and you continue on with your daily life, serving as who and what you are, with as much reality, as much presence and attentiveness as you do in your daily life. So when you're really, really, really conscious in your daily life, you'll find that that carries over into the night as well. you become more conscious on the other side. Sometimes, you know, in the beginning, there may be years even, in which you still go unconscious for a minute or two as you cross from the physical into the subtle planes. But eventually, if you work at it, you can develop continuity where there is no lapse of consciousness from one state to the next. Now, the biggie that we're working towards is continuity of consciousness between lifetimes. Not that all of us want to have a lot more lifetimes here, but just saying. The masters have continuity of consciousness 24/7. They never, ever do not have conscious awareness of who they are and what they are and what they're about. And so you can see, if you can carry that continuity of awareness from one life to the next, how much time that's going to save you from having to pick up and decode your memory again as to who you are and why you're here. What a loss of time. Our children on Venus are born at approximately the age of 7, but they're already who they are. They're already fully developed. They never go through that baby stage or that infantile stage where they're completely clueless. Granted, Venus is in its last incarnation in terms of planets. It's in its 7th round. Each planet has 7 incarnations, or 7 rounds, as they're called. And Venus is in its last one. So it's in the golden age, where everyone is literally in God consciousness at the highest level. Not at the astral level, but in the higher levels of Venus. There's levels beyond the astral world. And in the highest levels, the Venusians are literally God conscious. And then you have the Earth. The Earth is still a little child. The Earth is only in its 4.5 incarnation. You know, we're moving into the 5th incarnation, or the 5th world, as the native elders call it. We're moving into that. But the Earth right now is right in the middle. And so, of course, it's working through a lot of ego situations and concerns, which is exemplified in the collective consciousness on the planet, with all of its dynamics and drama and travail and so forth. But that's normal for that stage of development, too. Those of us who are the disciples and initiates are the driving force or the vanguard or the catalyst for this transformation into the higher level of the Earth or the 5th world. We're the ones that are the drive engine for that, as we allow the divine spirit to inhabit and to have its way through us in our expression and in our service and wherever we've been placed to do this work. So everyone is in training for eventual mastership. And of course, that first process of all is to be able to attain and sustain and maintain conscious soul contact and integration. And that takes a while. Where the soul then becomes the occupier and the activator of the personality in time-space. And thus the soul's plan and purpose is able to express fully and completely through the personality. So this must be consciously requested by each one of us. We need to request it, but go beyond the request to the evocation. I had a friend that used to constantly say things like, "I'm choosing to know," and, you know, would add whatever it was the person was choosing to know. But the person never moved to the knowing. The person kind of stayed in choice mode and never moved to, well, okay, you're choosing the knowing, but what is your knowing? What is your knowing right now? So many times we pray and we ask God for things, but we don't take it any further. Oh, dear God, please, whatever, whatever. But we don't move the inner awareness to the answered prayer, because we're told very clearly by Jesus that whatsoever two or more of us come into agreement with in asking the Father, it is done in that moment. You know, he's speaking about a spiritual principle of the triad, the divine trinity of energy that causes the manifestation. So when you're in prayer, you're constantly in the other than me mode, thinking of God as outside of yourself. You're in duality. So it's only when you come into union and agreement and joining with the Christ, that higher part of yourself, the God within you, that the manifestation occurs. So you have to follow up your prayer, your petition, with moving yourself to the answer. Because it's been given to you energetically, but to precipitate it through into manifestation, you have to take the physical action of embodying it. That's the key to your manifestation. And I hope by now you have something greater to manifest than your twin flame or more money or some nonsense like that. We're not here to manifest things with separated personal ego self. That's another shift that we need to make. Before, we've thought of ourselves as the center of the universe. Almost everybody is so self-focused on how everything has to be just right so they will be pleased, comfortable, abundant, provided for, whatever. But that's the selfishness of the mini-me. That is not the expanded life of selfless, of self-giving, of self-sacrifice, of offering your whole being in the service of life. That's why the soul is called the son of sacrifice, because the soul sacrificed, being at one in the higher realms, one with God in divine bliss, to come down to liberate matter from entrapment, to redeem the material element by transmuting it and transfiguring it into light, starting with the physical body, starting with the very elements that have gone into making your physical, astral, mental, causal, and etheric bodies. You're processing all the time the kingdoms of nature through your biosphere, and as you process them, they become mixed with the light of your conscious awareness, and therefore they are lifted and transmuted and ascended. That's the real meaning of ascension. No one ascends alone. No one makes any progress whatsoever alone. So we're here to learn to die to self, to die to self-importance, to lose fascination with our little personal petty concerns. And it's gradual. You have to train. Again, you have to train that lower nature to obey only the impulses of the soul, which is always service. It's always self-giving. It's always expanding and including and bringing into one accord. So there are parts of our nature that are intensely selfish, that only want what we want when we want it, and to heck with everyone else. We all have that part, and that's the part we have to educate like a little recalcitrant child. It's a childish behavior. But you can't go to God unless you put on your big boy and big girl suit, suit up, and shape up so that only the divine is present. The more God-like we are, the nearer we are to manifesting the truth of our being. And it's simple. The hard thing is to fight the call of the higher. That is very, very hard. It's what produces all of the stress and strain in our lives, psychologically, emotionally, and physically. If we went with a divine flow, which is ever one of love, we would not have that strain and that stress. So I want to speak to you a little bit about how the masters work with us, because it's very interesting. Usually, the masters work through their disciples. Their disciples are men and women like you and I who are in training for mastership, and we are the ones sent forth to work with people at night. That may be one of your jobs at night. It definitely is one of mine. So we may be the ones that are sent to certain people to teach them and train them at night. So pay attention and see if that's true for you. What is the nature of your dreams? When you find yourself awake on the other side, what are you doing? But often we will go and pick a person up in the soul body around 3 a.m. their time zone, and we'll give them an hour's lesson generally. We're guided by the masters in doing that. And this varies, of course. I know John Roger used to pick us up, he would say, at 12 o'clock. He liked us to be asleep and down for the night by 12 o'clock. He would come around at 12 o'clock and pick us up to take us to work with us on the inner. And then he would come aground again at 2 a.m. in case we missed the 12 o'clock. Purple Express, I think he used to call it. But just saying, it varies. But generally speaking, and notice when you wake up at night, because often when the master leaves, that's when you wake up suddenly to have to go to the bathroom or whatever. And it's the coming back into your body sometimes that awakens you. There was an interesting story that a person I know that works very closely with Lord Maitreya mentioned this story of what happened to him on a layover when he was flying back home from one of the destinations where he was speaking. And he had a stopover in Hawaii. And he hadn't gone to bed yet. He was still awake. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. He had just had a nice walk on the beach and had just returned to his room when all of a sudden he sees this beautiful young man with long, blonde, curly hair, looked like an angel, in a white tunic, standing on his balcony where he had just, you know, the man had just opened the balcony to get the nice breeze and the fresh air. And bam, this man appears. And he said, "I've come to give you your lesson for this evening." And this man was so shocked, he fell back on his bed and was sitting there looking at wonderment. Where did this guy come from? How did he come? His mind just went into bananas mode or ape mode or whatever you want to call that. And this disturbed the young teacher very much. He said, "Well, if you're going to play mind games like that with me," he said, "I have better things to do with my time." So he turned and walked through the iron railing right out into the sky a few steps and vanished. So then the man heard the master speak behind him and turned and saw him standing in his spiritual body there. And he said, "I sent my disciple to give you your night lesson, and you really need to pay attention because this is a very important lesson." And he was rather cross with him. He said, "You know, you have to discipline your mind so that you don't go into this tailspin. You know we're coming. You know we're teaching you. Be cool with it," in other words. So he was thinking, wow, this master is really stern. And then the master kind of winked and gave him a smile and left. And the young man that had come to give the lesson returned. And he's sitting cross-legged on the man's balcony. And he gave him a lesson on self-realization. Self-realization. That's what we talk about week after week after week. How to realize the divine self. Because until you are connected consciously with who you are as a immortal divine soul, nothing else much can happen. You're living a fictitious life, and you're really not of much help to the planet or yourself or anyone. You have to wake up. But you wouldn't be listening to these seminars if you didn't have an intention towards waking up or being more awake or more self-realized or more God-realized, which is actually the same thing. So anyway, that was his story. And then he, this time, paid attention and really listened to the young man. And he wished he would stay longer than an hour, but exactly 4 p.m., the young man turned and simply walked off into the air and vanished. So the masters are not bound by our illusion of what we think is a planet or time or any of that. They live in the timeless realm, and they appear in and out according to the need at the moment and the direction of their master. And so that's the way it is. Do you do that at night? Yeah, you do. Those of you that are doing this work, yes, you do. You operate at that level like that. Because at that level, you are who you are more clearly without the limitations of the human conditioning and the human brain, because you're functioning generally at that level. You're functioning in the soul body. I function in the soul body. I don't function in the astral. So pay attention and see if that applies to you. Now, you can also be taught in other places. You can be taught aboard ship, as many of you know. You could be taken on Earth into a spaceship, which would be Victor 1, Valiant Thor's crew that is stationed outside of Lake Mead under a cloaking device, and they hold classes there every night, so you could be called there to study. Or you could be taken, beamed up with the Ashtar Command. Victor 1 is part of the Ashtar Command as well. We're Venusians. We're based on Venus. And we work together. All of the masters, whether they're planetary or celestial, all work as one. None of us work separate. We're one great big cooperative alliance in service to this planet and a myriad of worlds. And we all work with great, great loving harmony and respect with each other. So you could be taken aboard one of the ships of the Ashtar Command, and you could be taken also in the inner Agartian city, for example, of like Telos. You could be taken to study in one of the temples there, one of the Melchizedek temples. Lord Adama is a Melchizedek high priest there, and you could very well be in one of his classes. He looks a lot like Ashtar, by the way, so you might confuse him with Ashtar at times. And then you could be taken in the Shambhala the Lesser, which is in Shambhala, in Telos, or you could be taken to Shambhala the Greater, which has a counterpart also on the etheric realms in the higher reaches of the Himalayas. So there's an interterrene Shambhala and also a Shambhala that's located in the etheric physical levels in the high Himalayas. And there's many other golden temples of wisdom and spiritual cities on Earth and within each of the various planes. In the subtle bodies of Earth, you have these wonderful spiritual temples of learning. You could be taken to any one of them. And can you remember any of this? I would say yes, if you really want to, enough to make the effort to train yourself to recall your dreams, or to become a lucid dreamer, or at least to write down what you do remember and do recall, no matter how brief, but do it consistently. Consistently. I did this for like 16 years consistently. And that's how I trained myself to bring back more conscious memory. So it's not necessary to remember, but it sure is wonderful when you do. And remember, this is your life. It's your spiritual journey. So you can live it as consciously as you like, or you can sleep through it. It's your choice. But like it or not, you're going to emerge a Christed, perfected master. And you will be as glorious and as wonderful as Jesus, as Maitreya. And I would have to say, you might possibly be of the Avatar lineage, which I believe I am. What is that? Well, let's put it this way. The avatars come down from a higher planet or state of consciousness into the Earth, but they're not of the Earth. And they don't really work so much with the evolution of the human beings on Earth in the way that some of the masters do. There are masters that work with the animal kingdom, the mineral kingdom, the crystal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the Devic and the angelic kingdoms. Not all masters work with humans. And you know, it just depends on your nature and your, you know, where your focus of interest is. In the case of an avatar comes whenever a full avatar, like Satya Sai Baba or Krishna or Rama, they come only when there's a great, great evocative cry of humanity, when there's a great decline in righteousness, when evil has become such that it's overwhelming the good and the godly in the world, and they cry out for help. The Lord then takes a body from age to age. And when the Lord does that, he brings his eternal companions, or what's often called his Anga avatars, his limb extensions of his energy. The potencies that he carries are embodied in the people around him. And so he comes with his friends, his divine companions. It's my experience when I met Sai Baba, I felt like I had come out of him. That was my experience immediately upon seeing him, was he was the source from which my essence had emanated. I've come since to understand that must be because, and I've met many people that also identify that way, that must be because we're part of that energy that comes with the avatar. That's the only way I can understand it. I think many of you will identify with that because it accounts for the fact that we've never quite felt like we were human or part of the human evolutionary thrust on this planet. I'm really speaking to you celestial emissaries now, you starseed, because you do come in from higher worlds and planets, some like me from Venus most recently, some from maybe one of the other planets. But you know that you've come from someplace other than Earth, and you came in more or less conscious of that. At least when you were young, you had awareness of that. So if you don't really relate to the Earth's evolution and its progression to the levels of initiation, don't worry about it. That may not be the path that you're on. Now, how would a person coming down with the avatar as one of the co-workers, how would that differ? Well, for one thing, you would be very drawn to the avatar. For one thing, you would, I think, have a sense of divine origin with that manifestation of God. You would feel a certain oneness. You'd feel like almost when you look at him, you're looking at yourself. Or in the case of Amachi, you might feel like you might feel such a kinship or a oneness with Amachi that you might feel like you've come out of the Divine Mother. It's a very subtle feeling, but it goes beyond where you could say, oh, well, I feel this way because. There's no because. It's completely a sense that goes beyond conceptual understanding. It's like you know your own, you know your source, you know from whence you've come. There's just no denying it. You know, it's interesting that penguins mate for life. And certain other species, I think the puffin and several other birds. And they all look alike, right? But even though they might be separated for long periods of time where they go off for feeding or whatever it is they do, with all of those penguins or puffins or whatever that look exactly alike, they will always find their mate. And I think the soul always finds its origin. It always does. For example, I've always known I belong to Jesus. Why? Well, we're both Venusian for one thing. But The heart knows its own, you know? It knows its own. So who do you know as your own? Really meditate, contemplate on that as you look at the masters and the different, there's many, many books that will give you pictures and descriptions of the various masters. One way that you can tell what ray your soul is on is by the master that you are the most drawn to. Is it a six-ray master like Jesus? Is it a second-ray master like Kutumi? Is it a first-ray master like Master Moria? Is it a seventh-ray master like Saint Germain? You know, like that. And these are all ways that you decode the mystery of your own higher identity, your own, let's say, your own matrix of being, because the soul has its own unique Merkaba, its own energetic of light and sound and divine design that is like the monadic blueprint of who and what you are eternally. Bear in mind the soul ray remains constant until the third initiation, and then it begins to merge with the monadic ray, or the I am presence. And the personality ray changes from life to life, which gives you an ability to experience life through a variety of approaches and lenses and valences of consciousness. But then your astral body, your mental body, and your physical body all have rays also that could be similar. More than one could be the same, or they could all be the same, which is rare. And then you have the sub-rays. So you have a lot of different influences that go to make you uniquely who and what you are. I want to also speak about the Master Joel Cool, or DK. He actually started, he's an abbot in Tibet, well-known abbot in Tibet. And I assume he's still in the body. I think he is. I'm not sure about that. But back in the, when was it? It must have been the 30s or 40s. He started a seed group. I think it was some 60 disciples. I'm not sure about that. It's been many years since I've read the books, but I believe there was some 60 individuals that were in Western bodies, New York and different places in the West, that he worked with via actual correspondence. And he worked with each of these people. They were in all different walks of life, human beings, you know, just going about their daily life. But they were all disciples in training. And what was so very interesting was that how he would point out certain personality defects that different ones had, or certain areas where they had developed themselves too much, so that he was working to bring them into more of a harmonious integration in their personal lives and in their personalities. And he stressed very much right human relations and developing group consciousness wherever they were in their workplace. And they were living ordinary lives, going to work and school and stuff like that. The letters and the correspondence and the directives were published in two volumes of the Alice Bailey books called Discipleship in the New Age, Volumes 1 and 2. And they were dictated by Joel Cool, DK, to his amanuensis, Alice Bailey. And Alice Bailey was a senior disciple in the ashram of the Master Kutumi. So that's very, very interesting reading for those of you that want to know what it would be like to be trained by one of the masters who is training disciples in the modern Western world. What was interesting, too, was that one of the first people that mentored me when I was coming into this work was Lynn Vivian, who was a man who was a direct disciple of Eugene Cosgrove, who was one of the men that the Master DK had in his seed group. So I had kind of almost a direct mentorship from someone who was involved with that group that DK was training. So how can we tell if we're progressing? Well, for one thing, you're going to be developing a lot more equanimity. You're not going to be so reactive. You're going to be more centered, more balanced and neutral when it comes to things that used to push your buttons. There's going to be less and less mental judging and critiquing until finally that just atrophies and dulls away and you just don't go there anymore. You will have greater mental and or spiritual focus in terms of where you're primarily focused in your consciousness. We move from the personal ego, to which is usually very emotional, very astral. We move from that polarization to more of a mental polarization, and from that to a spiritual polarization. Polarization meaning point where you live from or are focused from. So you'll notice a shift wherever you are in that continuum. You'll develop more harmlessness in speech and thought. You'll really think before you speak. And you'll immediately nip in the bud a tendency to think critically in your mind. You just will automatically monitor that lower nature so that it doesn't go there anymore. You'll be training that lower nature. You'll have greater composure, inner stillness, serenity, a greater sense of goodwill, inclusiveness, cooperation, sense of sharing and justice, and more loving harmony and cooperation. And the real sign that you're in connection with the soul is joy. The soul is a happy being, carefree, joyful, but also always considering what the need of the moment is and applying itself in a selfless and unobtrusive. So selflessness then becomes natural. It's one's nature to respond. And I would say selflessness becomes natural in the sense that you no longer count the cost. You don't think, oh, well, what's in it for me, or how much are you going to pay me, or do I feel like doing it? You don't go there anymore. It's a spontaneous reaction, not so much a reaction, but a response to genuine need. And you also learn to discern more and more where a person needs to work through whatever it is they're working through with very little input from you, and when they really need some assistance. You discern very carefully so that you don't just run and become a doormat for anyone and everyone without any discrimination, but you begin to discern genuine need. What is the soul here? The one that is evoking your attention, or is it a basic self situation or personal ego situation? And maybe just a little bit of correction or direction is required, and sometimes not. Sometimes the best is to just be silent. So the masters are working with us all the time, and they look at how you live your life. Be aware that there's never a time when you are not under observation. If you're a disciple, you're under constant observation, not in your personal life. They're not going to follow you in the bathroom, for example, or, you know, in your private moments. But they definitely are looking at the aura and the spiritual energies that are flowing through the chakra system. Part of their job is to make sure that you are staying in balance, and your own master has charge over the energies that flood through your instrument so that you don't get too much or too little, but that it comes in a balanced rate that each person that's being worked with can absorb the energies without harm, can digest the diet, so to speak, so it doesn't bring spiritual indigestion. I would like to share with you a message that Lord Maitreya gave through Benjamin Krem by overlighting him. This came in 1979, 2 years after he had come forward and was living in London. "My dear friends, I am happy indeed to be among you once more in this way and to release to you something of my plans. Within the group wherein I dwell are those who know me for what I am, but it is my intention to withhold for a certain time my true status. This will enable you to see me as one of yourselves, a man among men. Nothing which I do will seem extraordinary. Nothing which I say will be bizarre or strange. Simple indeed will be my approach. On this fact you may count. As a brother among brothers, I shall speak for you all. Voice aloud your aspirations and hopes. Make known the desire of all men for a world at peace, for a just and noble readiness to share, for the creation of a society based on freedom and love. By my enunciation of these principles, will you know and discover me. My intention is to reveal myself soon and by the shortest route. All else failing, I shall emerge into a world ready but unprepared, a world which knows not yet that I am among you. But far better would it be for me to come before you as the expected one, the one sent by God to lead you into your future glory. Many know this, but many more by far are ignorant of the true happenings of the time. I do solemnly appeal to you, therefore, my dear friends, to make known the fact of my presence among you and pave smooth my way. My burdens are heavy indeed. These burdens may be lightened by your work. I trust you to act and follow. Together we shall complete the plan. My blessings go with you all. May the divine light and love and power of the one most holy God be now manifest within your hearts and minds. May this manifestation lead you to be ever mindful of your true purpose as servants of the plan." What is the plan? In a nutshell, we are preparing a body of manifestation through which the solar logos may occupy in the exact same way that the soul is now attempting to fully occupy each human personality. And then the whole of humanity as one collective group will then embody the heart of God, which we call the spiritual hierarchy. So you see, each group is being prepared to be occupied by that which is greater. And this is called the chain of the hierarchy. And it is beautiful. It's a divine principle. And it is always that which is expanding the divine glory of the all that is in this many and myriad universal display of creative intelligence. It's a great and glorious thing to be a conscious disciple. It's a great and glorious achievement to become a master. It's a great, great, great honor to be accepted as a co-worker of the Lord and his masters of wisdom. So wherever we find ourselves in this contingency, or if we're working off planet or on planet or with the Avatar or with one of the many, many wonderful enlightened men and women that are on the planet today, count yourself as so very blessed. You have the most fortunate good karma and wonderful divine destiny. Make the very most of this incarnation. Live it with as much impeccable excellence every day as you possibly can. Consecrate your every breath to be truly useful to your fellow man, and you will find the glory of God will occupy you until there will only be the radiance of the divine presence left. So I hope this has been helpful to you. I bless all of you that your highest divine destiny may manifest and be fulfilled in this very, very lifetime. May you be peaceful. May you have good health. May you have light and happy hearts. And may you love and serve with all your heart. Let's take a deep breath and go out chanting one wonderful Hanai Hu. God bless you. Peace be with you. Namaste.